is related to resurrection. And today we're talking about freedom. Woohoo! Very, very exciting. Why is freedom in Christ important? It's very important because you will not be able to carry out God's will of your life until you are free. Freedom is to restore back the image of you that sin had damaged. When sin entered the world, it destroyed the world. I think you would agree with me. It destroyed not only human beings, but the creation. Adam sat with a lion, calling him a lion. Can you sit with a lion today? The world has changed. And the whole creation is eager and waiting for restoration. Remember, you are God's masterpiece. You are his handiwork that he created in who? In Christ Jesus. Today, I want you to notice this word, in Christ Jesus. We are created to do plans that God had for each one of us. Without the freedom, there's no way you'll be able to do that. Freedom, when we are operating, walking in the Lord, with the Lord in freedom, we are proclaiming his ownership of us, his rulership over our lives. So freedom is a big thing to celebrate. You may ask, what do I do to get it? Good news, nothing. It has been granted. The work has been completed, finished by our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. I want you today to think a bit about the meaning of redemption. Redemption, according to the dictionary, is buying back something that belonged to you, but you lost it. And that thing that you lost cannot free itself, cannot redeem itself. It's desperate, it needs help. And I think to be able to redeem, you have to have two things. You have to have love that will give you the drive and the will to pay the price, to buy it back. But not only that, you have to have the ability, the power, the financial means. You imagine a father, his son is being kidnapped, and kidnappers are asking for a ransom, a huge ransom. If the love is there, but he doesn't have means, he won't be able to do it. God had displayed his love for us and his ability, his power to buy us back. And it was a very costly redemption. Not millions, not billions. It was the precious blood of the Lamb. You may say to me, do I need freedom? Have I ever needed freedom? Have I ever been a slave? It's a common question. If that crossed your mind, don't worry. You're not a strange person. Because in John 8, Jesus was talking to new believers. And he said to them, hold on to my teaching, and you will be really my disciples. And then, only then, the truth will set you free. They were offended. They said to him, we've never been slaves. We've always been Abraham's children. Why are you saying this? Funny, you know why? They forgot that these, Abraham's children, were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And they forgot that they were in bondage in the Babylonian kingdom for how many years? 70 years. But they were offended. They forgot. Today, the Lord wants you to remember that you and I were slaves. Once upon a time, we were slaves. Slaves to what? There isn't a better book in the Bible to know slaves to what than Galatians. I will say the verses quickly for people who are keeping notes where they are, and briefly, shortly, because I have a lot to say about freedom today. I'm sorry. Yeah. So Galatians 3:22, he said, we were locked up under the control of sin. Not only the control of sin, but the condemnation, the punishment of sin. Galatians 3:23, he says, you were held in custody under what? The law. The law didn't solve the problem. All the law did was pointing out what's sin and what isn't. But it didn't give them the power to obey the law. And that in itself brought them under condemnation. Can you see how the outcome is grim? Condemnation. Galatians 4:3. You were slaves to what? Under the basic principles of the world. And he's talking here about non-Jewish nations. They didn't have the law, but they had false religions. And the false religions told them or suggested to them that they have to perform to get their God pleased. And that would make God in debt to us, but that can never happen. So we were indeed slaves. Just in case you're questioning the nature of the talk that we're doing today, all of us were slaves. But Christ had given us the legal freedom in the redemptive work that he did on the cross. Praise the Lord. And not only that, when he was raised from the dead, he justified us. And he is on the right-hand side of the Father. You know what's he doing? Interceding. Why? What's the need for this? If he has given me the righteousness when I accepted him, to complete your righteousness, he wants you to be perfect. He wants you sanctified. He wants you to be holy. And none of us will complete this journey of righteousness without Christ's intercession for us. And that was why resurrection was very important for justification. You would stand still, criminal, guilty, if there was no resurrection. Can I lose this freedom? Of course you can. The work is done. It's being given. You've received it when you received Christ as a savior. So why would I lose it? You would lose it because we have an enemy who was the prison officer, and he wanted you to be kept behind bars. He's so upset now that you are free, that you've been released. And he is trying hard with each one of us to captivate us again. And you know what? The worrying thing is that you may be captivated again by him, but you are not aware of it. And that's because he is so sly. You need to know his tactics. Because he would make things look perfectly all right. Very Christian, very spiritual. But actually, you have been entrapped and enslaved again by him. What tactics does he use? First one, he uses something in each one of us called self, S-E-L-F. Self is a cunning thing in human beings because self sets flesh against spirit. I am made of flesh, but I have spirit in me. Yeah, and the spirit is either a godly spirit or ungodly. And this self is me, 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 I want this thing. And the devil is so clever. He comes to you and he uses some of the words that we are saying today. Freedom. Jesus has given you freedom. You are a free person. Why don't you eat as much as you can? As much as you want. Why don't you drink as much as you can? You know, I know people who drinks can do 12 to 15 cans of Coke a day, and they are not aware that they are enslaved, and they would say to you, I cannot stop it. So he uses self to start what we call a habit. You know, in psychology, they say a period of 3 weeks is enough to develop a habit. And then you find yourself trapped in this habit, unable to stop it. So he would say to you, no, you are too tired, it's bedtime. I know you struggle to drift off to sleep. If you play the television in the background, that will help you drift off to sleep. Don't say that you're gonna read a psalm to remind yourself of the goodness of the Lord and to put yourself focusing on the Lord before you sleep. How come? How come you are struggling to drift off to sleep, but you can't read the psalm? And you know, you put a television in the bedroom, you turn the television on as you are drifting off to sleep, and it becomes a habit. You are trapped in it. The devil has taken your freedom. Your freedom to remember the name of the Lord before you go to bed. Watching things. I know it's been said from the pulpit many things. You are a free person. You can watch whatever you want. You are an adult. Who's going to judge you? Who's going to blame you for saying this? You have needs you need to fulfill. And you are again in bondage. So one, self. Two, ritualistic and legalistic mindset. He wants to put a legalistic mindset in you. You know, lots of us think it's much easier to set a list of things to do and a list of things not to do. It will be much easier. And what happens when we do that? We take ourselves out of grace. Paul was very clear in the passage that Mariam read in Galatians. He said to them, look, you have false teachers coming to you, telling you, without being circumcised, you cannot be Christian. There are phases to Christian faith, and the first phase is circumcision. And Paul said to them, actually, you want to be circumcised? You are alienating Jesus Christ. You are saying that the work that Jesus Christ had done on the cross is of no value to you. And not only that, you are falling from grace. Does that mean I would have lost my salvation? No, don't worry. It doesn't mean that you've lost your salvation, but it would mean that you are refusing to operate with the principles of the Christian walk with the Lord. You know, the law imposed on people a principle of, I have to do this to please the law, to be obedient. But when Christ came, Christ introduced another principle saying, I want to do this. Why do you want to do it? Because I love him, and I know that if I do this, that will please my God. So setting lists of what to do and what not to do is not healthy. You may say to me, you are exaggerating there, Salwa. I am not. You know, we ask stupid questions, forgive me. We ask, if I want to give the Lord of my income, should I, what percentage should I give? Should I give of the net income or of my gross income? Please, don't ask these questions. Maybe start with the net income. But as your love, as your heart will enlarge with his love, you will decide that, no, that's not enough. I want to give of the gross income. Am I permitted? I'm a Christian, a new believer. Am I permitted to go to the cinema and spend 2 hours and 40 minutes watching a movie? What will please your God? You do it. It's not a list of what to do and what not to do. And last one in the legalistic mindset is religious and pious rituals and traditions. Coming to church on Sunday. Wonderful. But you know, during the week, you are not bothered to say hello to the Lord. You're not bothered to open the Bible and spend 10 minutes every day reading his word, listening to him. What's that? It's legalism. It's box ticking. It's not a relationship. It hasn't become a relationship now. It is what I have to do. So I tick the box, I went to church, I'm happy, I pacify my conscience. I'm a good Christian. Your freedom has been taken off you. You will not, you're not gonna lose your salvation, but you will not experience the power of the Holy Spirit. You will not experience grace. Again, what's grace? Grace is the power to do something I was not able to do because of my limited power. But now I can do it. In who? In Christ Jesus. Third one, that the devil can creep into our lives and steal our freedom of us. This is serious. Doctrines. He wants to captivate us in the doctrine of the denomination that we're worshiping under. And you know, I have to be very careful what I'm going to say here. But I can tell you something. I can tell you a testimony. I don't usually give testimonies, but unless the Lord tells me to share something. Today the Lord told me to share two things. So that's the first one that I'm going to share with you. I grew up in a Presbyterian church in Egypt, and the church taught me to value God's word and to study God's word and to memorize the word. But it wasn't part of their doctrine to be baptized as an adult. And I lived with that thought about 45 years of my life. And then I moved areas, and I had to look around. When I moved to Wolverhampton, I had to look for a church. I went to United Reformed, I went to a Methodist church. I didn't feel comfortable, not for anything about doctrine. I wasn't that sophisticated these days, but it was the way that they worshipped. I came here in 2004, I loved it. Not because of anything about baptism. And then the Lord started to work on me. the Lord came to me and challenged me, saying, I want you to be baptized. I said, come on. This is an unreasonable request, Lord. What do you mean? My father and my mother were believers. They brought me in your fear. Are you telling, they were not baptized. Are you telling me that they are not saved? They were not saved. My Sunday school teacher, well, I loved her. She taught me the Bible. Are you saying she was not saved? And I haggled with the Lord. I tried to talk him out of the idea that didn't suit me for years. And at some stage, he gave me an ultimatum because he said to me, you've been disobedient. And I was very apologetic. I can't tell you how scared I was when he said that. And I said to him, no, I'm going to take you seriously now. I'm going to take your request seriously. And I started studying the subject of baptism from the Bible dictionary. I read the book of Acts. I read every verse in the Bible about baptism. And there was light. Light in my soul. I had a revelation of what baptism is about. From verses that I have learned. For years I've known them. And I was familiar with them. But the light came. And the eyes of my heart could see. And I was baptized when I was 52. And I, you know what? The day I was baptized, I think the heavens opened its windows and its doors of blessings. Obedience is something very good. Why I'm saying this? Why I'm sharing this testimony with you? Because the devil wanted to lock me up in a Presbyterian doctrine. Remember, doctrines of different denominations, who made them? Man, thank you. It's man-made. They just read the Bible. They are all good people, but they read the Bible and they chose, let's put some emphasis on this and make it a requirement of the doctrine of the church. Be open-minded. Don't let the devil lock you. Do you hear of Smith Wigglesworth? This man had been to all denominations. He belonged to all denominations at some stage in his life because he was opening his spirit to the work of the Spirit. And he cooperated with what God wanted him to do. Fourth thing that the devil wants to lock us in and take our freedom of us is a negative emotional state. When your situation is not very good, when you've been hurt in life, disappointed, failed at something, and you become despondent, you become depressed, and you develop despair. And they say to you, you need a psychiatrist. You need a psychologist. You know, when you are in this state, you need your freedom back. And again, that's the second testimony I'm sharing with you. When my marriage failed, that was heartbreaking to me. It was something out of character for my family. Never heard of a marriage failing. My culture, big taboo it was. And you know, it hit me with a sense of shame and disgrace. To the extent that I isolated myself of people because I was so broken, I couldn't look them in the face and look them in the eyes and tell them what happened to me. I used to come to church and sit where this young man in the yellow t-shirt sitting in the last pew And I used to leave the church before they say amen at the end. I don't want to see anybody. I was troubled. My freedom was stolen of me. Satan locked me up in something called despair and shame. But praise the Lord, didn't last. You know why? Because I cried out to him. I said, look, I want your healing. I want a new revelation. And he was so faithful. He was so kind and loving. And he gave me a fresh revelation into his love that made me feel so valued. After a divorce, traumatic divorce, I felt so loved and so valued. And from the last pew there, I'm not saying that everybody sitting there is hurting. I'm not saying that. I moved here to the second or the third pew. And I can share now with you my pain. The Lord had set me free. My chains fell off. You know, our Lord is a living God. He just doesn't say words. So first thing, be aware of the devil's tactics to steal your freedom in areas that you may never think you are locked up or you are captivated. It can happen without you being aware of it. What do I do to protect this precious freedom? One, be aware of what we talked about, of your enemy and his tactics. Two, can we go, Abraham, please, to John 8? And we will read verse 31, John 8. Sorry, it's taken me time to do that. Right. To the Jews, verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Go with me to verse 36, I think, where he says, if the Son, which verse is it? 36? Yeah, 36. If the Son sets you free, you are indeed free. Hold on to his teachings. That's the second thing that you need to do. You know, when God speaks, he doesn't speak to entertain us. We think he's doing it in a very nice way to entertain us. But actually, he speaks to change us by his truth, to transform us by his truth. Jesus is the living truth. And his word is the spoken truth. And he's saying, hold on to my teaching. Notice, he didn't say, listen to my teaching. He didn't say, study my teaching. He didn't say, memorize my teaching. But he said, stay in there. And then what will happen? You will know the truth. You know, knowing the truth is a bit more than listening, studying, meditating, and understanding it. It's not intellectual understanding. It's not. But it's something happens and the light comes. Oh, you know when you've known a verse for a long time and all of a sudden you're reading it again and then the Spirit opens your eyes to see something about the verse you never got before. This is called revelation. Revelation. And then the light comes in, and that's not enough to know the truth. You know what you need to do? To receive it and let it change you. Let it do the work on you. That's how we get transformed. What's the word of God for you? What value does it have? Is it high up? Or for you, it doesn't make any difference. You just hear it here when you come on Sunday. But during the week, it's nothing. I would worry for you if that's the case. Because the Word of God teaches us how to get the blessings that we are entitled to because of our position in Christ Jesus. How are you going to do it without knowing the word? So that's the second one. Stay in the word. Abide in the word. Stay. Give the word weight in your life. Third thing, can we go to Galatians, please? Galatians 5, and we will read 5 and 6. For through the Spirit, listen to the words. It's not a very easy sentence to understand, but we need to understand it together. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. What does that mean? Live in faith. You need to believe God's design, amazing design that he made. The day you accepted him as a savior, he took you by his hand, put you in an envelope called Jesus. And to ensure that you are not going to be mislaid, go there or there, he thought, I better seal this envelope. It's so precious to me. I better seal it by the Holy Spirit. The day you accepted him, you are in Christ Jesus, sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt in you and in me to let us experience his power. And then, life in faith. Do you believe this design? You have to believe it, I'm afraid, if you want your freedom not to be stolen of you. You have to believe it. And then you let yourself experience the power of the Spirit. You live in Spirit. You let the Spirit control your life. Let me ask you a question. How many times a week do you think of the Holy Spirit and you speak to him? If none, I would worry about you so much. If a few times it's promising that you realize that there is a person called the Holy Spirit, you need him. You will not be able to sustain your freedom in Christ without the Holy Spirit. Again, I want to remind you of the word in Christ Jesus. Your union with Christ is very, very important to sustain your freedom. We want to learn a lesson from a very prominent figure in the New Testament who made a mistake, and his freedom was stolen off him in one of the situations that was really embarrassing to him. Peter. Peter, in Galatians 2, he went to Antioch, and there he found Jews, who some of them were calling for circumcision. And Peter was sitting and having a fellowship with Gentiles, Gentile believers. But when he saw these Jews, the Bible said he feared what they may think of him. You know what he did? You wouldn't believe it that he did it. He drew back. He said, no, I better not appear in the picture with Gentiles. And you know, he did not act in line with the truth of the gospel that he believed. He was the one who opened the door to the Gentiles when he went to Cornelius' home in Acts 10. How can he do that? Because he was worried so much to lose the approval of people. Don't think too much. Don't give weight, too much weight, to people's approval of you or people's opinion of you. Doesn't matter. To people's criticism of you, that will take your freedom of you. And you know, the upsetting thing about this story is that it wasn't only Peter that lost his freedom, but he led other people to adopt the same attitude, and they drew back from sitting with the Gentiles, including Barnabas. It's so dangerous. Our enemy is so clever. We have to be alert all the time. Don't give too much weight to people's opinion of you, because that will steal your freedom. Finally, I want to take you to the image that Jane had read for us in Psalms 107. And I'm going to read 15 and 16 again. And I want you to think of the words. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Why? What did he do to deserve the thanks? Look at that. For he breaks down gates of bronze. How strong is bronze? Can someone just break it? Our Lord can. And cuts through bars of iron. I really want you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to reassure you today that there is nothing that's too hard for the Lord to liberate you of. Whatever it is. Whether it's something you can share with somebody else, or it's something that you would be embarrassed to share it. The Lord is powerful and mighty. He breaks gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Just come and humble yourself before him. Cry out to him to set you free of that habit, whatever it is that you found yourself captivated in. Ask him for fresh revelation into the truth, especially fresh revelation of his love. And this is specific for people who are emotionally hurting, people who had built high walls around themselves because they are hurting from inside. Come to him. Ask you to set you free of whatever it is, despair, anxiety, shame. Don't give up to any bondage. Satan may tell you now that you've tried many times to get free and you couldn't. You've asked people to pray for you and you're still in bondage. Don't listen. Don't give in because of the precious blood of the Lamb. It was the precious blood of the Lamb that broke down the bronze and cut through bars of iron. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We don't know how to thank you for the freedom that you have given us as part of your redemption of us. I love you because you saw the value in us, even though we were still sinners. I praise you for the design of the work you have done. And because he who started the work is the very one who is going to finish it and complete it. Lord, we're expecting confidently the righteousness that we're hoping for. We're looking forward to your work that will complete us, that will make us holy and sanctified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.